After supporting Barack Obama for president in 2012 and other Democrats in previous elections, many voters in Wisconsin and other Midwestern states backed Republican Donald Trump in 2016. And our guests this hour, two who teach journalism at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, decided it would be a worthy journalistic exercise to find out why. So they and their journalism students traveled to talk with voters about why they crossed over from blue to red. And we will discuss what they found out and welcome your thoughts and questions. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, December 29th. And we would like to know from you. Did you vote for Obama in 2012 but cast your vote for Trump in 2016? Why is that? Why do you think Donald Trump was able to turn Wisconsin into a Republican red state when Wisconsin had previously voted for the Democratic blue candidate for president in every presidential election for the past 30-plus years? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Jesse Garcia Marble, a journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, a former sports reporter and anchor for WISC-TV in Madison and WTMJ-TV in Milwaukee. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, Joy. Great to be here.
It's great to have you here. Also joining us is Jessica McBride, senior lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, former investigative and general assignment reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jesse and Jessica helped create and manage UW-Milwaukee's 2016 election project, How the Mississippi River Valley Turned Red, which profiled citizens in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota who historically voted Democratic but largely supported Donald Trump this fall. We have posted that website for the project on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
It's good to have you both with us. We did talk, Jessica, with you post-election, and it was just by coincidence that we talked to you about media coverage of election issues, and you had just returned from this weekend project where you had been interviewing students. But Jesse, you mentioned when my producer Bill Martins talked with you yesterday that this was something that occurred to you post-election. Tell us how this idea came about.
Well, I actually woke up with the idea in my head it was a couple of weeks after the election. And, you know, both Jessica and I really strongly believe, and really our whole journalism department believes, in immersive journalism, getting our students out into the world, reacting to what's happening in the news. And, that's the best way to practice and learn journalism. So I woke up, of course, like everybody else, had seen that part of the state turn red, the western edge of the state. And I thought to myself, we should really take our students over there and talk to people. You know, I'm seeing all these maps and numbers and things, but let's talk to people and find out, you know, what they're thinking and what's going on. And I presented it to Jessica, and she really is the one who said, look at this map. We had this great map from CNBC that we were looking at. And she said, look at this map. It's not only western Wisconsin. It crosses the Mississippi. It goes into Iowa, it goes into Minnesota, it goes down into Illinois, and she said, let's do a larger road trip, a three-state, couldn't quite get to Illinois, but we did a three-state road trip in one weekend. We floated it to our classes just to see what their reaction was, and honestly, we were hoping for just a handful of students to maybe sign up with us, and we had 18 students sign up that day. And as the project went on, we mushroomed up to, we had almost 30 students involved in the project because we also came back to Milwaukee and decided that we really needed to talk with people in the inner city as well where the numbers were down. So it became a project of finding out why the Mississippi River Valley had turned red and then coming back to Milwaukee and finding out why the inner city vote had not turned out in the numbers that Democrats had thought that it would either. And it was a two-pronged project involving three professors, our digital media specialist, Jeff Loomis, and then Jessica and I really spearheading the entire thing. And these were radio, television, and print, and digital stories all combined together into one massive multimedia project.
Yeah, and it's very impressive. And again, we posted the website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And Jessica, so you decided to focus this project, at least initially, on this Mississippi River Valley area of Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa, because you looked at the voting trends and you saw that they had originally, in 2012, went for Obama, but in 2016 had gone to Trump.
Yes, exactly. I mean, one of the things that I teach is computer-assisted reporting, you know, using data to sort of drive where you go and how you focus the story. So what we did, the students and I, is we took data from county clerks. You know, we started with the CNBC map, and so we had the counties that have flipped by the highest percentage in the country from President Obama in 2012 to Donald Trump. But then we took the county clerk election data, ward by ward, village by town by city, for those counties. And we isolated which communities within those counties had flipped by the highest percentage from Obama to Trump. And that's where we headed on this, you know, gigantic road trip with the student caravan. So our first stop, at least with my group, because Jesse's television students and my print online students, we sort of split up for a little bit, and then we met back together in Mabel, Minnesota, actually, on the first day. But my caravan of students headed, using this data, to a very small community in Crawford County, Wisconsin, which is on the western edge by the Mississippi River, called Steuben. And that turned out to be the village that had flipped by the highest percentage in Crawford County, but also that had flipped by the highest percentage in the state of Wisconsin of any community. It's a community of 131 people. It was a fascinating place because it has two businesses, and they're both taverns, and they're both owned by middle-aged women. So you have these very strong female entrepreneurs that sort of anchor this town. It's a town that has no post office. It's a town that has no grocery store. And so we spent a lot of time in Steuben, not only with, like, the tavern owners and the hunters who were in the bars, but we were in people's sheds. We were knocking on, you know, the doors of people's homes. I had a student you're going to talk to in a minute, Naisha Stone, who, you know, just walked into someone's garage, knocked on the door of it, and talked to a group of hunters and gathered their opinions. So that's how we directed where we went.
Yeah, and you did, when we spoke last month, Jessica mentioned that, and we will go into details and play some clips from some of the voters you spoke with, and we will talk with one of your students as well, but overall, what you got the sense was it was economic distrust that was sort of the fueling the fire.
Definitely. I mean, so I mentioned these two female tavern owners. One of them, her name is Jo Bunders. When we went to speak to her, it was all about jobs. It was all about stagnant wages. And to be very frank, it was all about Obamacare premium increases. That was a theme that came up over and over again, not only in Wisconsin, but also in Minnesota, also in Iowa. And she said, and this will give you one example of what you're talking about, the economic distress. She said, my Obamacare premium increase, it's going up $89 a month. Now, to a lot of people, that doesn't sound like very much. But to her, that means that the premium she's paying is 1 week's total wages. And so another thing we did with data is we took the wage maps for the different states and we looked at them and we kind of laid them over the CNBC map of the counties that had flipped and the areas that had flipped. And we discovered that those counties had the lowest wages or among the lowest wages in their states. So this was backed up by data as well as, you know, human interview. It was a definite prevailing theme. It was economic stress.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of people tell us, you know, nothing has worked in Washington for us for a very long time. We voted for Obama twice because we believed in what he was saying, hope and change, but it didn't come to our area. And so they said, why not try an outsider? Why not try a businessman? So that really seemed to be the driving force. And as she mentioned, Obamacare, there was also a big distrust of Hillary Clinton. We heard that at a lot of places that I took my TV students. You know, the FBI investigation seemed to have made a pretty big dent into their thoughts about Hillary in that final week, some people told us they made up their minds in the last week, and they described the FBI investigation as the last straw. So there was, you know, there was a lot of that. And then there were some other things, too. Gun ownership. It's a very big hunting community. It was the opening of hunting weekend when we were there, and people there are very strong believers in their gun rights. And so, you know, they mentioned that to us a number of times as well. But, yeah, I would say the prevailing themes were economics, distrust of Hillary Clinton, Obamacare were probably the top three, and then sort of these smaller ancillary things as well.
We are talking with Jesse Garcia Marble and Jessica McBride. They both teach at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and they were leading this this project on why the Mississippi River Valley turned red. And voters who had voted for Barack Obama in 2012 voted for Donald Trump in 2016. And we are going to hear from one of the students, and we'll hear from some of the voters, and we want to hear from you, too. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We'll check news, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about how the Mississippi River Valley turned red. That's the name of a journalism project that was spearheaded by our two guests during this hour. Jessica McBride is a senior lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Jesse Garcia Marble is a journalism lecturer at UW-Milwaukee as well. And they led their students to talk to voters in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota who historically voted Democratic, but this time around flipped and largely supported Donald Trump in the November election. We are finding out what they learned and welcoming your thoughts and questions for them at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. And we are also very happy to have with us one of the students who went on this project. Naisha Stone was one of the students who traveled to the Mississippi River Valley, and she joins us too by phone. Good morning, Naisha.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. So tell us where you went and what you did.
So we met up around like 7 in the morning at Shorewood High School in the parking lot. We got out, took a few pictures, and then we all went our separate ways. We ended up meeting at a McDonald's meeting. Jessica McBride, forgot exactly where it was, but I ended up passing it, by the way. So we had to make a big U-turn and then meet her there. And then we went to first trip, well, since we're already in Wisconsin, we went to Western Wisconsin, went to Steuben, and then we ended up going to Iowa, then Minnesota. And the whole trip was, it was really, really fun. I never thought I would get this type of experience in college. It was amazing. I met so many people. I've lived in Wisconsin my entire life. I've never been to Western Wisconsin. I never knew those type of people lived out there. So, and I'm pretty sure they never seen someone like me. So it was pretty cool to meet people and just learn about them.
Well, interesting. You said you don't think many have seen people like you, meaning if people don't know, you're African American.
Yes, I'm a black young woman with the curly head afro, and you don't see that out there at all.
Yeah, well, and so you were going into people's garages and knocking on their back doors and such?
Yeah, I love talking to people. I'm a very people person, so my group, I was with a whole bunch of girls, and we were walking around. We went to this church, and nobody was there, so we ended up walking across the street, and we saw these hunters, and everybody was just sitting there, so I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I should do it. So I'm like, forget it. And I just walked up there, and they was like, oh, my gosh, he's really doing it. And I was kind of scared because it was a garage full of white men, and they had their guns and, like, their hunting outfits on. But they didn't care. They wanted to talk. The only thing, they just didn't want to give their names. But they were definitely willing to talk to me.
And what did they tell you?
The same old, same old. Like, most of the people was economic reasons, but they made it sure that we knew that it wasn't because they were racist. They was like, I voted for Obama before, so I'm not racist. And that was my big thing that I thought they were going to be, is like, these people, they've never seen, I don't think they've seen black people. It's 100% white population. So I thought they would be a little racist, but it wasn't about that. It was about economic reasons. It's because they want to keep their guns for hunting. It's just a whole multitude of reasons, and it had nothing to do with race, and that was a big shocker for me.
Yeah, and so no one you talked to made any kind of reference about feeling any racist comments at all?
Well, they didn't come out and say, like, oh, I'm racist, but there were a few people, they had problems with Muslims. Like, that was the biggest thing. Like, they didn't like that Muslims didn't speak English, you know, our language or whatever. They didn't like that, how they dress and stuff like that. But then I ended up asking one of the older men who brought that up. I said, so how do you feel about nuns? Because it's about the same thing. He was like, oh, nuns are okay. Nuns are okay. But Muslims, that's a total no-no. And so I thought that was very surprising. But other than that, they didn't bring up any racial comments or anything like that.
Well, in fact, here's a comment from Travis on Facebook. He says, something tells me other commenters will blame racism for Trump's victory. He's meaning commenters on Facebook. Watch. The truth is Wisconsinites desired a non-politician to finally clean house and fix our problems rather than just talk about them. So is that what you learned at Naisha at all?
That's crazy. It's like he went on a trip with us. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely it. They love that he has no background in politics. They really can't. They can't stand Hillary. They cannot trust her. They hate that she lied to them. That's a lot of people. I remember meeting this lady in Iowa, the last person I interviewed, and I walked up to her door. She was just sitting on the porch smoking a cigarette with her daughter, who was like 7 or 8. And she was like, I hate Hillary. Like, there's no other reason. Like, that's the only reason I voted for Trump. Like, I really don't like him either, but I hate Hillary. Like, that was constantly the theme going around. It's like they hate Hillary, economic reason. They want to keep their guns. And they just wanted a non-politician. That's why they voted for Obama, because they want to change. So now they voted for Trump because they think he'll provide change. But who knows?
Yeah, interesting. Did you, Naisha, did you do any interviews in Milwaukee, too?
No, I actually didn't do any interviews in the city of Milwaukee. I've been talking to my friends about it after the trip and told them, like, my input of it. And actually some of my friends read our project, and they were surprised, too. They was one of my friends, Deontay, he goes to La Crosse. And he was like, that was very, he liked what I wrote because he learned. He was like, not all white people are racist. And he was like, he's glad to know, like, what the reasons are, because the media just portrays it as, oh, they're racist and they hate all other races, but that's not true. That's just how they portray Milwaukee, as it's just this bad place to be, and it's all black people are bad and stuff, but that's not true. And it's just like, that's why I like that we went on this trip, because we're doing real investigating, we're being real journalists, and we're spreading the real truth. And that's why I joined journalism. That's why I want to do it.
Good. Are you going to want to work for Wisconsin Public Radio when you graduate?
Hey, if you guys want me.
What did you learn? I mean, is there any lessons you learned about how we should, the media in general, should be covering politics over this project?
Well, I wouldn't just say politics, but anything that we cover, we really need to investigate. We really need to go out there and actually talk to whoever we're trying to write a story about. How can you write a story and you don't know a person? Like, for example, I work for Milwaukee Press Club, and I had to write about Roseanne Aubin, and I was sent all these documents and stuff, but they were just paper to me. They didn't mean anything. And until I actually had a phone conversation with her, that's when I was able to write the story. You can't write a story if you don't know what you're talking about. If you haven't met the person, and it's unreal, it's not the truth, it's just your opinion.
You know, we have a caller who's from Western Wisconsin originally, who has a comment that you know, Naisha and Jesse and Jessica might be able to comment on. Erica in Green Bay. Hi, Erica.
Hi, good morning. I grew up in Western Wisconsin, like just south of the La Crosse area. And while I was still living there, it seemed like everybody was voting for people who looked like them and acted like them and talked like them. And I guess I moved to Green Bay about 10 years ago. And since then, I've also noticed a lot of people who voted liberal leaving the area. But the people who tend to vote more conservative are staying put. And I just wondered if they found any correlation between that while they were doing their thing.
Hmm. But, and Erica, I appreciate your call, but they're also mentioning that the voters they talked to, for the most part, were voters that voted originally for Barack Obama in 2012 mm-hmm. and now voted for Donald Trump in 2016. So they, what do you make of that?
Well, I think you have to look at who he was up against. Mitt Romney is a career politician. He's very polished and put together. He's from Utah and Massachusetts. So I think if they were comparing that to Barack Obama, it's kind of simple to see, oh, who can I relate to more?
Yeah. And I mean, thanks, Erica, very much. Maybe, Naisha, you first, in terms of Erica thinking that where she's from in western Wisconsin, people tend to vote for people who look like them.
Well, what I would have to say to that is the people I've talked to, that isn't true, but I can say that could be true because I know when Barack Obama was running, a lot of people did vote for him because he looked like them. So I can say that kind of is a true statement, but not all the way true.
Yeah. Jesse or Jessica, do you have a thought on, Erica was thinking that liberal people have moved away from, she now lives in Green Bay.
Yeah, I have a thought on that. One thing that we looked at the demographic data relating to these areas, and they're aging communities. I thought that was interesting. The numbers bear that out. And when you go to these towns, you sometimes feel like you could sit there for hours and never see a child. You know, there's rusted playgrounds and things like that. They were sort of the perfect petri dish for Trump. So you have the lowest wages in their states. You've got very low rates of internet, by the way. You've got aging communities. They've aged since 2012 specifically. And they also tilt male, you know, slightly, but they're slight, like Crawford County is slightly more male than the state of Wisconsin as a whole. And one other point on this notion of they were voting for someone who was like them and, you know, in Trump, because we also found women, of course, middle-aged women who didn't vote for Hillary. But I would say one thing Trump, I think, did well, and perhaps it was marketing savvy, but he managed to capture the voice of these people, I think, and talk about what they felt were their concerns. And so things he's running around doing now where he's talking about, you know, oh, I'm keeping all of these jobs in America and all these communities. He's being very specific about the companies. Like, that speaks to people in these areas. For example, in Lime Springs, Iowa, which is in the county that flipped the most in the entire country from Obama to Trump, the female bartender was still talking about the John Deere plant that was once in this town, and it was a vibrant town, and you could barely find a parking space. And, like, today, it was a desolate town. I mean, it was the fraying infrastructure and all of this. And that John Deere plant left 45 years ago, the mayor told us. And they're still upset about that. They're still feeling like the bite of that loss. It was true in western Wisconsin. And I'll conclude with this point, where in Steuben, the female bartender said, you know, we used to have this big plant in Boscobel, and it went overseas, and it took those jobs. And a lot of people here worked there. And where are we going to work now?
Yeah.
And I'll just throw in the Milwaukee part, because I did do a number of interviews in the city of Milwaukee with my television reporting students, and sort of along those lines, we did have people to say to us, you know, Barack Obama was a young, exciting black man and got the whole community excited, and one gentleman said to us, he wouldn't go on camera to say this, but off camera he said, you know, you're giving us an older white woman, and give us a reason to be excited. I was a little bit surprised that they were really upset that Hillary Clinton did not come to Milwaukee or to the state of Wisconsin after the primaries to campaign. So we had a number of people in the city of Milwaukee say to us, you know, she should have been here. She should have been in the Sherman Park neighborhood after the Sherman Park unrest. She should have been walking the streets. If she would have come just once, it would have excited the base, but she didn't, and she lost us.
Yeah. And Naisha had mentioned that, you know, she did not encounter racism as a young black woman in western Wisconsin, and the voters she spoke with did not say racist things or sentiments except some anti-Muslim talk. Jesse, did you get the same sense from your students and what, you know, in terms of that racism was not a big factor here?
Yeah, I did get that sense. We also had a number of people say to us, you know, how could we be racist? We voted for Barack Obama twice. We're not racist. This is not about that. But, you know, they did say that all of the things that Trump said didn't really bother them. You know, what some people would consider to be sexist talk or racist talk or any other, you know, number of things. None of that bothered them because they said that for them, they were able to overlook all of that because they wanted change. They wanted jobs brought back. They told us how they had to work 2-3 minimum wage jobs and barely make ends meet. And they're hoping now that he is going to bring some sort of manufacturing or business or bring something back to their area. One woman told us, she said, an innkeeper in Maple, Minnesota, she said, I voted for Obama twice because I knew that 4 years wasn't enough, and he had to have 8 years in order to make any change, but no change came. And I said to her, well, does that mean that you're going to vote for Donald Trump twice because he also, in your mind, needs 8 years to make any changes? And she smiled, and she said, well, if he's a jerk, although she used a different word there, after 4 years, then I am not going to vote for him again. So she's keeping him on a little bit of a shorter leash, but she's willing to roll the dice at least once and see if anything changes.
Yeah. So, Naisha, before we let you go, anything else, any other lessons learned that you'd like to share?
Well, in the world of journalism, you just go in with an empty mind, well, not empty mind, but empty opinions and stuff like that, and let the stories take away and take your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your work on this series, and thanks for joining us.
No problem. You guys have a great day. Yeah.
Naisha Stone is one of the students, one of the UW-Milwaukee student journalists who were involved in the 2016 election project, How the Mississippi River Valley Turned Red. We are still talking with the two teachers of journalism courses, Jesse Garcia Marble, journalism lecturer at the UW-Milwaukee, and Jessica McBride, senior lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. We did pull some clips from some of the voters you spoke with, some of the stories that are on the website. And, Jesse, you caught up with a woman in Maple, Minnesota, in a I think this was at a bingo hall, and she was someone who voted for Hillary Clinton, actually, but offered these thoughts on the appeal of Donald Trump.
So a lot of the people were just fed up with politicians, and they wanted somebody who wasn't a politician, kind of like when they elected Ventura in Minnesota. Years ago, people just said, hey, we've had enough of the politicians. Let's get somebody in there that's like us.
So
I think that's why they voted for Trump, because he's not a politician.
Oh, didn't mean to step on her. So how common was this viewpoint, Jesse?
Very common. I mean, we found that everywhere that we went. Yes, we were at bingo night in Maple, Minnesota, and talked to a number of people. And, you know, we also encountered many, many Hillary Clinton supporters on our trip as well, who offered opinions as to why they thought the rest of the valley switched over. Another person at that bingo night told us, you know, people here were believing everything that came along. A meme would come out, and they would just accept it as fact without looking at, you know, who put it out there or where the facts came from. So that was another issue that we encountered along the way. It was just the information that was getting out and how it was getting out and who was accepting that info.
Yeah, here, in fact, is a clip, another clip from Maple, Minnesota. This is the owner of the Maple House Hotel, Crystal Adkins, and let's take a listen to this.
I have lots of friends that, oh, they want to see the first woman president, and I want to barf on my own shoes because, with all due respect to recording, a vagina is not a qualification for being a president.
So, Jesse, what did you take away from that?
Yeah, that was the innkeeper that we spoke with, and she was very, very strongly in that camp, you know, feeling like we're not going to vote for a woman just to vote for a woman. Later in that same interview, she said, give me a woman who's qualified to be president, and I will gladly vote for her, but Hillary Clinton is not that woman. So, you know, people, there was a big distrust of Hillary Clinton. Bill Clinton was brought up a number of times as well. People didn't like things that he had done and didn't want him to be back in office. A number of people told us they thought Bernie Sanders could have won this election if he had been the Democratic candidate.
Yeah, in fact, I think we better check news before I ask another question, and then we'll take some more calls and talk some more about what our guests and their journalism students learned on the 2016 election project from UW-Milwaukee, How the Mississippi River Valley Turned Red. They profiled citizens in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota who had voted Democratic or historically voted Democratic but largely voted for Donald Trump this fall. How the once blue Mississippi River Valley turned red. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with two guests who led a group of UW-Milwaukee journalism students to Western Wisconsin, also Minnesota and Iowa. And they also talked with voters in Milwaukee to try to figure out why Wisconsin turned red when Wisconsin has voted for the Democratic presidential candidate for more than 30 years. Why did Donald Trump smash through that so-called blue wall and turn Wisconsin red? Well, they found that there was a lot of switching of voting going on in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota. Voters there that had voted for Obama in 2012 instead voted for Donald Trump in 2016. So we are talking about what they learned by talking to the voters there, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for them at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guests are Jesse Garcia Marble, a journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Jessica McBride, a senior lecturer at UW-Milwaukee. And just before our news break, Jesse was telling us that a lot of voters were talking about how they were dissatisfied with Hillary Clinton as the candidate for the Democratic Party, that they, in fact, we see a lot of Facebook comments as well saying if it wasn't for the Democratic National Committee, maybe Bernie Sanders would have been the nominee, and Bernie, they would have voted for Bernie Sanders rather than Donald Trump. I'm wondering, getting Jessica in on this, is there any evidence there that if Bernie Sanders was the Democratic candidate, that those votes might have went to him?
Well, there's a very strong anti-establishment, you know, fervor out there, and people are angry at the big media. They're angry at big government. They're angry at big politicians. And we did find people who said, you know, I voted for Bernie in the primary. I would have stuck with him. I flipped to Trump, which was very interesting. I think, however, that the candidate who might have done best for the Democrats would have been Joe Biden. If you think about that, he captures kind of the voice of these working class folk. It would have been hard to imagine him losing Pennsylvania, for example. And one point of hope here for Democrats, by the way, who are listening, is I don't think these people flipped Republican so much as they did embrace Trump's change message and his message of being, you know, an outsider who was going to shake things up. These were not people who are fixed in a partisan position. We talked to one man who flipped from President Obama to Donald Trump, who stood there in his garage, converted into a house with Naisha and I, and he said, you know, I'd vote for Michelle Obama. We looked at each other. We were sort of surprised. And he left the U.S. Senate race blank on his ballot, by the way. So I think these are voters who are up for grabs. And it was really striking to me how much they really sort of recited President Obama's slogan, hope and change, hope and change. The media painted it like it was fear and change, right? They're racist, et cetera, et cetera. And really, they were saying, you know, no, we're voting for hope.
Well, in fact, here's a comment from, where is that comment? Paul from Eau Claire emails, I am a millennial who voted for Obama and Trump. I found Clinton's campaign full embrace of identity politics repulsive, and the breaking point for me was when she called one quarter of the American citizens deplorable. Anybody want to react to that?
I did hear a little bit of that. A couple people mentioned the basket of deplorable comments to us and said, you know, that was really insulting. And she was talking about working class people. She was talking about people like us. And you know, that was just another reason for them to turn away from Hillary or to maybe try to get their friends or family to turn away from Hillary. So it certainly did not do her any favors making that comment, for sure.
Well, I know that I want to get to a couple of other clips here, too, that you and your students also Jesse spent time in Milwaukee talking with voters. Last time, of course, African Americans turned out in high numbers for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012, but that did not happen this time around. One of the places your team visited was Mr. Perkins' Family Restaurant. And you told us that most everybody you spoke to said they did vote for Hillary Clinton, except for William Rowan. And here is his reasoning for voting for Donald Trump.
You know, the truth is that Donald Trump ain't really gonna do no difference, but he can make some type of impression and improvement. That's how I feel. A lot of them ain't gonna like what I say. A lot of them ain't gonna like the truth. Everybody run from it, you know. But that is the truth, and that's why I voted Donald Trump. Barack didn't do nothing. He didn't raise up minimum wage. He's done nothing for black folks besides the Obamacare. Everybody know that. But no changes occur. We talking about everybody still on the corner selling dope. Everybody still robbing. You're not giving the community nothing, especially in poverty. We're not rising in numbers. Everybody dying, going to jail.
So, Jesse, I guess how much did that message resonate?
Yeah. So he was the only gentleman we found who told us that he did vote for Donald Trump. Other people said they voted for Hillary Clinton, or the majority didn't vote at all. And they just felt like there was no viable candidate. They weren't excited. You know, why even make the effort on election day if nothing was going to change? So we found a lot of apathy in the inner city. And we did ask people, okay, do you regret not voting? You know, now if you're not happy with Donald Trump as the president, does that mean that you regret not voting? Some of them said yes, and some of them said no. Some of them said it doesn't make an ounce of difference who's there, who's in the White House to us. But a few of them did say, you know, yes, and I need to motivate more people to come out and vote in the future. So really a mixed bag, but mostly just a kind of throwing their hands up and sort of I don't care attitude.
Here's one more clip from Milwaukee. This is Neil Kelly, a barber at G's Clippers. He said that if African Americans want to see real change in their community, they shouldn't rely on the President of the United States, no matter who that may be.
We do suffer some of the effects from our president, but more so than anything, we need to show up on the local level and vote on a local level for people to represent us when they get to in the state legislature, as well as the Senate, as well as in our Wisconsin legislature. That's where the overall change will be made, where we can make a difference here in our community for ourselves. We have to show up on our own local level before we can really make a change on our national level.
So, I guess, Jessica, do you have a follow-up for that one?
Yes, because my students, also the print students, went out and they interviewed people in Milwaukee as well, and, you know, barbershops and grocery stores and things like that. And one thing I was struck by was there were a lot of commonalities between the people in Milwaukee and the people in western Wisconsin and in the Mississippi River Valley. We found a lot of people in both places who simply didn't vote. I think there was an enthusiasm gap. You know, the Trump voters were motivated. They were watching all these rallies on TV. They were going out to vote. The Hillary Clinton, or the people who might have leaned toward Hillary Clinton, they just weren't that excited about her candidacy. And the other commonality, I'm going to go back to where I started, the economic distress and just a true sense of disenfranchisement and disconnect. I was shocked in western Wisconsin how many people said, I didn't vote, and some people said, I have never voted my entire life. I don't see the point. Government doesn't work for me. It doesn't speak for me. In the inner city of Milwaukee, people were saying the same themes. It kind of makes you wondering who's dividing and conquering, right? I mean, they were saying, we don't feel that people are hearing us. They don't care about our needs. They're not making our communities better. And Hillary Clinton somehow failed to channel you know, that feeling in the inner city and, you know, into her candidacy. And I think she also wasn't seen in Milwaukee as a historic candidate, even though she perhaps could have been because she would have been the first female president. But there was a sense that Barack Obama had really motivated people. There was the enthusiasm factor with him. They were excited about voting for the first black president, and so they turned out.
Yeah. The Barbara that we just heard from said things people like to see, touch, and feel things, but they couldn't do that with Clinton because she didn't come to Wisconsin after the April primary. Trump, on the other hand, had campaigned very hard in the state. Jesse, did that matter much to voters?
Hugely, and I was really surprised by that. I just really hadn't registered how important it was for them to have Hillary Clinton right there in the city, in the state, repeatedly. And, you know, I think it'd be very interesting to hear from her campaign at some point. You know, did they overlook Wisconsin and some of these other so-called Rust Belt states in the Midwest or not? So there are lessons to be learned, really, for both sides here, for Democrats and Republicans moving forward, and how to motivate people and how to speak to them and what they're looking for. And, you know, all sorts of things that can be taken out of this election for generations to come.
Jay in Green Bay, hi.
Yeah, so you had your white journalist students go to black barbershops in Milwaukee. Did they also go to Kentucky Fried Chicken to interview the black people too?
All right, Jay, really? Well, he was being a jerk, so I'm not even...
I'll comment on that. I mean, we have a group of very diverse journalism students. They're Latino and Latina. They were Caucasian. They were African-American. You know, very diverse students, and they went in all kinds of different places. And the student who actually decided and proposed going to the barbershop was an African-American student who said he goes there, and that was his suggestion for one of the places to go. But they went to many, many different places, restaurants, people's homes, you know, taverns, people's sheds, people's grocery stores. So it's just an uninformed comment.
Yeah, and, you know, we're almost out of time. I don't know, lessons learned, Jesse Garcia Marble, from your perspective, from this project.
Well, as I mentioned, I think lessons learned about the election, and really for us as journalism instructors, we were just so excited. This project came together in less than a week's time, and also UWM, even in a budget crisis, we were able to just get enough money to help cover the cost of the lodging for the students, which was huge. And it's so exciting to see these young journalists just dive into this. You know, the fact that they were able to do this 5 days after we proposed it, when they have jobs and internships and other classes, but they were so passionate about this and about the idea. It's just the future is bright for journalism as well.
Well, that's good to know, and I do want to. Naisha to check us out when she graduates. Jessica, less than 30 seconds, a final thought from you.
I actually wanted to just echo what Jesse said, and I wanted to do a shout out to Naisha too, because she's symbolic of the sort of student that we have at UW-Milwaukee. These students have heart, they have grit, they have richness of life experience. They were absolutely fearless in how they approached this project. I was so proud of them. I think any media organization in the state would be, you know, proud to have students like this. And people who are cynical about the media, you know, I think they should look at this project and what the students did here. It goes back to the students.
Thank you very much, both of you, for being with us. This is the Ideas Network.